Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of the Thirsty Beagle podcast. I'm Nick Trigakos, author of the Thirsty Beagle beer blog on News OK, and I'm joined by the magic of the internet today by Prairie Artisan Ales brewmaster Chase Healy. Chase, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, no problem. Happy to be here.
Let's dive right in, man, because the Prairie line right now is probably the hottest beer line that we have in the state. How are things going right now with Prairie?
Things are pretty crazy. You know, we have a lot that we're trying to do. You know, we're being really ambitious about this project, and luckily we're getting the kind of feedback we were hoping for with what we're doing. So if a tank is empty, we're trying to get beer in it. You know, we're talking about trying to do 30 different beers this year, and that's not an easy task. So between it and you know, all the other little side projects we're working on with getting a new facility going and stuff like that, we're pretty busy.
So let's take a step back for just a second. And for people who maybe aren't familiar with what you guys are doing at Prairie, give a rundown of what you would say kind of are your regular core beers and what those beers are.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the one that is like a truly core beer, I'd say, are two. They're Prairie Standard and then Prairie Ale. A Prairie Standard is our beer that, in our minds, is kind of a more everyday beer. You know, we're putting it in a six-pack. It's the beer that you can find if you see our you know, products on draft. And it's really, I feel like, our most approachable product. It's just a little over 5%. It is fairly dry hopped, but it's not overly bitter. So what you have is a farmhouse beer that kind of gives maybe a newer beer drinker or an experienced one just wanting to, you know, go a little light, an opportunity to get some of those unique kind of funky farmhouse type flavors, but then is not so intense that you couldn't, I guess, drink all six bottles if you wanted to in one evening.
Right.
So, but then ale is our kind of our set, like saison, that we do, and it's one where, you know, we do some pretty unique things in the fermentation and the types of yeast we're using, and to me it's really kind of the basis for where all of our more experimental beers start with, and it's a golden saison that we ferment with our farmhouse ale yeast, but then we also include a mixture of wine yeast and wild bacteria in it as well to kind of get some pineapple, slightly tart, unique flavors into the beer that we can offer all the time. Some of these other beers are very ingredient driven that we're doing, and the limitations on getting those make it hard for us to produce a lot of, but you know, those two beers are the ones that we're relying more on process and less on specific ingredients to get our flavors, so it allows us to be able to produce those more regularly than some that are using, you know, specific hops that we may only be able to get our hands on a few boxes of.
Sure.
So from there, we've been trying to do a lot of hop, but that one again is pretty hop dependent, and right now securing the hops I need for it, I can really only brew so much of it. So it's one people have been able to get their hands on pretty easily, but it's not one that we'll be able to produce a whole lot more this year. I think we're going to produce one more fairly large batch of it, and then just hope, you know, I can get my hands on hops for it for next year as well.
Sure. Now, you mentioned having something in the range of 30 or so beers, you know, in line that you'd like to create in 2013. What are some things that people can be looking forward to coming down the chute here in the next year or so?
Well, I mean, this month alone here in March, we'll have four new beers come out. Those are four different saisons. The first one that I'll probably kind of let roll out is actually a collaboration beer that we've brewed with Saint Somewhere. It's a brewery down in Florida that also kind of has their thing is farmhouse ales as well. And really the guy that owns that company, Bob Sylvester, has been a guy that's been a real big help for me in kind of developing my techniques and things that I do to create my farmhouse ales. He's been a big help to me. And so, you know, over the years of talking with him about this style of beer, we decided to kind of have some fun and create a few different beers. So our version of our collaboration should be rolling out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's in the bottles. It's ready to go. It's just, you know, the beer will kind of tell me when it's ready to send out to be on the shelves. But it's a really cool beer that's a blend of half of kind of just a straight fermented saison, and then another one that we fermented with lactobacillus. So we blend those two beers, and then we use like a pretty ridiculous amount of different citrus fruits that we've used throughout different parts of the brewing process to give you this really intense citrus forward, almost like you're drinking a mimosa type experience. So it's a pretty out there beer. And then his down there is actually uses elderberry flowers and persimmons. The idea was we do a Florida-themed beer, he would do an Oklahoma-themed beer, and then I'm actually going down there in about 2 weeks, and we're going to brew a third beer. And we aren't completely set on the style on that yet, although Alabama is kind of the halfway point between our two places, kind of the northern part of that state. And you know, some of their state fruits and nuts are blackberries and pecans. So we're still working out the details on it. But yeah, sorry, I'm rambling.
Oh, that's all right.
So that beer is coming out in a couple weeks. And then we've also got our beer that is Prairie America. And it's our smash saison. So we only use one grain for the entire grain bill, which is a floor malted Bohemian Pilsner. Hmm. And then only one hop, which is Nelson Sauvin, which is a New Zealand hop. And it's not overly bitter, but it's certainly hopped at the end of the boil and in the dry hopping to the levels of, say, a double IPA, you know, a few pounds per barrel, where something like Prairie Hop is maybe less than 2 pounds per barrel. So it's insanely hopped. We're dumping a lot of hops in these beers, and really that's been kind of a theme for some of my beers that I've been making. And the idea that saison is a beer that is potentially spiced in one way or another. As an American brewer, I feel like a cool way to interpret that is through hops and trying to use really expressive hops to, you know, get really different flavors. Like the Nelson Sauvin are going to give a really intense, you know, they say it tastes like a, you know, a wine grape, a real intense, slightly tart, unique hop flavor that'll bring to that beer. And then Funky Galaxy is our dark saison that we're doing. And so it's dark in a sense, like a Schwartz beer is dark.
Right.
So we're not looking for an intense amount of flavor, more so it's very dark in color with just a hint of roast. To play with the Galaxy hops, which are an Australian-based hop, again, done to about double IPA levels, and again, to really highlight the intense, you know, tropical notes that come from that hop. So the fourth is Prairie Gold, and it, again, is a pretty unique one where we have fermented this one completely with lactobacillus, and then really made it a very, very highly carbonated beer. So it'll be more so, you know, similar to a champagne. You know, you'll get a lot of kind of wine-like flavors with it because of the dryness and the effervescent, you know, level of the beer. But it's got some, you know, really unique and sour flavors. And all these beers are conditioned with some strains of Brettanomyces. So you're getting some earthy, musty, tart, unique flavors from those as well. So really those four, you know, people can see this month and the following month. We've got a few different beers that are currently aging in barrels that I'm hoping to package here by the end of the month and kind of have out in late April. And then from there, we've got about four different sour fruit beers that will be coming out for the summer, kind of as a way to create something that's got a lot of complexity but still has that refreshing element of the fruit involved. So, you know, I could go on and on.
All
but
right.
Like I said, 30 beers, there's a lot to talk about. But they're all they've all been established. We know what we're making. We've decided on the beers we're doing. You know, we're having a lot of input from Schulten Brothers and products they'd like to see and incorporating those into what we're doing. You know, they wanted to do us to create a Christmas beer or a winter beer, or, you know, we're even going to do kind of like a harvest beer that'll be a pretty unique one with pumpkins and yams and whiskey barrels and all sorts of cool stuff involved with that one. So it's just really us trying to be as creative and awesome as we can with this stuff. You know, we're not just trying to turn out a bunch of junk for the sake of doing it. We're trying to be experimental and use our, you know, experience and knowledge of the ingredients we're using to try to create exciting things.
Well, it's interesting that you say that too, because my next question was going to be sort of along the lines of, you know, philosophically, as a brewer, like, what are you trying to accomplish? And I think you maybe have just spoken to that a little bit, in that, you know, it's about taking some tried and true standards, but maybe pushing the boundaries with them a little bit. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I mean, for like any other reason, you know, we're just trying to have a whole lot of fun. You know, it's exciting, and I wake up every day thrilled to be formulating and thinking about these products and taking them from just a concept and an idea to what we can, you know, can really pull together. And I think it's equally exciting for Colin when I come to him with here's this beer, here's the color of it, here's, in my mind, how it's going to taste. You know, how do you want to interpret and you know, interpret that for the artwork, and you know, giving people something to think about with what you've done on that as well. So I think it's just giving us both an opportunity to really express ourselves, you know, be it in the bottle or on the bottle. And that's just it. I feel like that's always been a thing for me, is like, if I'm not constantly seeking and trying to create something new, then I can get a little bored, I guess. And,
sure.
You know, I don't know. So it's hard for me to want to be in a facility where I'm constantly just producing the same four beers over and over again. You just, you know, become kind of just like a line cook or something like that, when you know, you're not allowed to really stretch your legs too much. You're just doing the same thing. So for me, or for Colin, it gives us an opportunity to be constantly thinking and never getting comfortable with what we're doing. You know, we're constantly trying to come up with the next idea, and you know, so sometimes I worry, like, I don't know that I'm gonna get all these Simcoe hops I need to continue to make hop, but I know that maybe if I can line up 500 pounds of Centennial hops, then maybe I can make another Dark Saison and we'll roll that out. So it's kind of, I guess, more or less just for us to be having fun and be creative, but it also is a solution and a fact that as a new and a young brewery, we don't have the opportunity to get our hands on maybe some of the hops and other ingredients that more established breweries that have contracts or things you know, have access to. We're just kind of taking advantage of the opportunities that come our way with getting our hands on different things.
Sure. Now you hit a couple of topics that I wanted to talk about. One was Schulten Brothers, and we'll come back to that. The other is your brother Colin, your partner there at Prairie, and his label art. I think it's becoming somewhat of a, you know, mini cult following now, just to see what the next label you guys come out with is going to look like. And I know you kind of leak some art on Facebook, and it gets people kind of fired up, and then they see the end product and get even more fired up. How important is that to you, what the bottle shows on the outside, and what is that process like with you and Colin and trying to kind of decipher what exactly that finished label is going to look like?
Oh, you know, it's funny. It's typically emails and texts and just going back and forth, and he hates it. He hates it when I show people artwork early, and I shouldn't do it, but I just get too darn excited about it. You know, like this morning we're talking about possibly creating a label for the Wild Brew beer, because we're involved in that collaboration with Foam and Chalk this year, and, you know, what could we do on that, and how would we, you know, leave our mark on it, and, you know, it kind of, you know, got back to a bunch of middle-aged women dancing to Mustang Sally, as what tends to happen at that event. But we know we need to kind of be somewhat serious about it too, because it's you know, a pretty awesome event, and we don't want to just make it totally goofy. But, you know, we get as weird as we can and then think about, does that really, you know, is that really going to work? Or are we just being too stupid about it? And, you know, last night we're talking about a Veer Prairie Legend, which we know wants to showcase one of us holding a large catfish hoisted over our shoulder or with our shirt off or something crazy like that. But it's like, what else do you include in there? And why are we doing that? And sometimes we don't really have a good answer, but we know that we're kind of getting into this really funky area of this is craft beer, and there's really no one else to tell us that we can't do something. And I think that that's exciting for the consumer. Like, we don't want to be just completely random and ridiculous, but at the same time, why not?
So there's a meaning behind the labels, but you're still trying to have a lot of fun with it too.
Well, and like Gold is a good one that has a lot of kind of inside jokes and different things that, you know, a lot of the artwork on it is stuff that was big to us in the 90s and stuff. You know, we're both we're kids in the 90s, and the things that had an impact on us and other moments in time that has, you know, some hidden meaning from previous places we've worked or things we've worked on. And, you know, I won't go too far into it.
Sure.
You know, I want to give it away. But, you know, so we do sometimes get a little more serious about the things we're trying to say in the labels, but for the most part we are just looking to have fun. And also I'd say that it's kind of totally Colin. You know, I think I'm pretty good at helping come up with concepts, but he tends to take everything to the next level, and that's exciting too, because it's hard as a brewer to want to give up some control in the process. But it's one area where I definitely feel comfortable and excited to let him really take off with something and do what he thinks would be exciting to him. Just like I would think, you know, aging something in French wine barrels for 8 months with bacteria is fun. He would think that, you know, whatever he's working on next that's got us doing something crazy or weird or whatever the topic is equally exciting for him.
Sure. Now the other topic that I mentioned here a few seconds ago, your deal with the Shelton Brothers Distributors. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. That gets
Shelton
you guys.
Brothers.
Yeah, that gets you guys in, you know, somewhere, I think, in the neighborhood of 10 or 12 different states here in the country. Even internationally, I think, was it Denmark, correct, is the country where you guys are at now?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how big of a deal that was for you guys, just as a kind of fledgling brewery to get your name out there across the country.
Well, I think that's, you know, exactly what it did was got our name out there. We're tiny, and we're not going to produce a lot of beer, relatively. I mean, we are going to produce a decent amount. We'll produce over 1,000 barrels this year, which no brewery in the state has produced that much in their first year or even come close. So we're going to do a lot of beer, but in the grand scheme of the national beer market, it's a drop in the bucket. You know, it's a tiny amount. So getting our product out there was really key in kind of positioning ourselves. And, you know, I talk about us doing crazy things and being silly about what we're doing. But at the same time, I think I've really been in this industry long enough to kind of understand and have a feel for kind of the direction the market's going and what needs to happen and how are we going to position ourselves. Because, you know, as there's 1,000 breweries trying to open in the next year or two or in planning, and it's, you know, it's getting stupid the amount of breweries that are trying to open, and, you know, just dudes thinking they can open a brewery, and that's cool because we all dreamt it and some of us got lucky. But access to market's going to be continuing to get tougher and tougher, and if
right.
you don't have your product established, then no one's going to want it. I mean, they may give it a shot, but if no one knows who you are, then you know, they're just going to move on to the local guy or whatever that they do know. So for us, the goal with Shelton Brothers was to try to establish our brand in a lot of markets. And even if we aren't selling a lot of beer in those markets, we're reaching that kind of core beer geek demographic of consumers that are excited to try things. And it also plays into trying to create a lot of things because they're constantly wanting something new. So, the whole thought was that we could get our beer out there with them, but at the same time, it still needed to be good, or people were going to dismiss it after the first time they've had it. So,
right.
You know, they've given us a huge opportunity to get our beer out there. You know, I'm tickled when I see people in the San Francisco area, you know, drinking our beer on Untappd or whatever and really digging it. There's a lot of cool beer being brewed out there. So for someone out there to even care, makes me feel like we're kind of getting something right. So it's been a cool opportunity, and I feel like it really has been a way to elevate our brand, and you know, more people are noticing it than they would if we were just trying to focus solely on convincing Oklahomans to drink, you know, really weird bottle conditioned beer. So
right.
Not that they won't, because they certainly are, and we're selling a lot of beer in state, but there's a whole lot of other beer drinkers out there, and it's fun getting product to them as well.
Now, you've been doing your work at in Krebs at Talk's headquarters, you know, commuting from Texas a lot of the, you know, whenever you need to get up and get some work done, but you know, you've got a place now in the Tulsa area. You're going to be coming back to Oklahoma. Do we see in the future here a brew house for Prairie, a home where you guys can call your own?
Yeah, you will. And you know, it's funny. We talk about, you know, me moving down to Texas to potentially, you know, I really got hired to try to start a brewery down here. And when I walked away from that to really concentrate on Prairie with my brother, it kind of started immediately where, you know, my wife is down here working, but for the most part, I'm equally in Oklahoma and Texas even now. But, you know, yeah, we are moving back, and we'll be back officially within it, you know, by the end of March, we'll be completely there for the most part. So that'll be nice, actually, you know, being able to be where I want to be, doing what I want to do. But at the same time, we are still getting everything together to open a facility. That will happen. We're buying equipment currently whenever I can kind of find something. Cause I mean, that's, I think one of the unique parts about our model and what we're doing is there is no hidden investor, you know, rich dude or whatever behind what we're doing. It's me and Colin. And when we can sell enough beer to buy a piece of equipment, we're doing it. So, in my mind, I want to piece everything together before I pull the building together. We have identified a few locations, but at the same time, I don't want to be stuck paying rent on somewhere and waiting for equipment to come in. So we're actively purchasing fermenters, brew house. We just bought the brew house and getting it all together so that we can launch a small facility, really. I mean, I still plan and anticipate working for Chalk for years to come. You know, I certainly will never take for granted the fact that they have got a system in a brewery down there that is allowing us to produce a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Through their, you know, their packaging abilities and just their general capacity. I certainly don't have $1 million to get the stuff I need to be able to produce beer on that level. So to be able to continue to work with them, I think, is really ideal, where the facility we would do in Tulsa would be more or less to focus on our different barrel-aged products and really being quite a bit more experimental there.
Maybe like
smaller,
like an R&D type setup or something.
We'll certainly be producing enough beer to be selling it, but I bet most of that beer won't go out of Oklahoma. It'll stay in state. You know, most batches that we would turn in there would be, you know, 80 to 100 cases, where, you know, other beers were doing, you know, 500 cases of something to sell. So it'd be really more or less a way for us to definitely put our roots in town and be brewing. I am a brewer. I want to be brewing and doing stuff. And, you know, the bottom line is our arrangement is fantastic with Chalk, and I like going down there and working with the guys there, and we're all, you know, becoming pretty good friends. But they still got to do their thing too. And I know that. So it means when they're obviously busy creating all their awesome beers, it's not always space for me to slip in to get something brewed, because in the end, you can only turn out so much beer in a given month, given tanks and configurations. So when they're busy working on their things, like today and the next couple of days, I know they're packaging up a lot of their beer and getting a few things brewed. It'd be nice to have a space where I can still be working on things, and even if it is on a small scale, I think the benefit of that is, you know, we make a small amount of something we love and they're selling locally. There's no reason we can't go over there and produce it on a level to sell it on more of a national, to get out to everyone. So that's really the goal. The goal with that is to be able to really start dialing stuff and working on new things, because unless we scale it up, it won't be any of the same beers we'd be producing in their facility. It's already laid out 12 different beers that would be exclusive to that brewery.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I tell you what, Chase, we are fresh out of time today. I want to thank you for joining me today on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck with everything Prairie as you guys go forward. Good luck with your relocation back to Oklahoma.
Thank you very much.
And for all the beer fans out there who are looking to keep up with the craft beer scene in Oklahoma, feel free to surf over on the internet to my blog on the News OK. It's the Thirsty Beagle blog. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter. And until next time, we'll catch you later. Have a good day.